Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, fellow humans. Welcome to the Hot Mess Clubhouse, a podcast that celebrates funny women. I'm your slightly erratic host, Lucy Vine, and my guest today is the total goddess, Kimberly Nixon. I've been obsessed with Kimberly since 2008, when I first saw her as Kate in Wild Child, and then Lindsay in Angus Thongs and Perfect Snogging. Such brilliant films. Later on, she was my favourite character in maybe anything ever, playing the always complicated and always likeable Josie in Fresh Meat. More recently, I saw her in the one-woman play Original Death Rabbit and was completely overwhelmed by how funny and smart and brilliant this woman is. And it turns out she is just as wonderful and lovely in real life. This was my very first interview for the Hot Mess Clubhouse podcast, and I have to apologise for sounding so incredibly overexcited and shrieky. Kimberly and I talk social media, periods, and not-so-perfect snogging with teen boys on set. We also have quite a serious argument about chocolate. By the way, our mutual friend Rose Heine, who wrote Original Death Rabbit, is in the room with us, and you might hear her giggling or joining in on occasion. Enjoy!
Hello and welcome to the Clubhouse, Kimberly.
Thank you.
Or do I call you Kimberly or Kim or Kimmy?
You can call me...
Kimchi. Kimchi.
Rose is laughing.
I'm trying not to speak, so I'm not meant to be here.
You can be here quite
a bit. Okay, just so everybody knows.
Rose Heine is...
She's here.
Sitting in the corner watching us because she doesn't
want to
leave.
I've refused to leave.
She doesn't want to leave.
I've just done a chat with her, which I don't know, might not have come out yet.
Spoiler.
But she's going to be in.
Kim's fine.
Kim. Yeah, okay, Kim. Cool. I would prefer a nickname so that I can go away from here pretending we're best friends.
Oh, well, do you know what Richard Curtis started calling me?
Shut up. This is so name dropping. Straight in with the name drops.
Yeah, no, when we started emailing him about the play and stuff like that, and he started coming back, and he just started calling me Kimble.
Kimble!
And I've had Kimble, Kimmy, Kimberelli, Kimbers,
amazing.
Crumbly. I've had like a million. Quim, I get that quite a lot.
Nice, sexy.
But I've never had Kimble, so.
Richard Curtis.
You can jump on the RCE bandwagon.
Oh my god. Okay, great. So the first thing I want to just mention is that we have a lot of snack food.
Yes.
There is a party bag.
I know. Oh my god.
This is a party bag full of chocolate, and I need you to tell me which is your favourite in there.
Okay, this is like an actual like 8-year-old, you know, like those little plastic bags that harried mothers have in a box.
Really, really bad quality. Oh. The stuff hasn't even been printed properly.
You've already gone wrong with a Whisper Gold.
What?
Well, Whispers are amazing.
Whisper Gold is an extra level of awesome.
It's that caramel, isn't it?
Yeah, it's caramel with a Whisper.
No, but a Whisper's pure.
Oh my god, I don't think we can be best friends.
Kit Kat Chunky is out.
What?
I do not like Kit Kat Chunkies.
Okay.
Guylian.
Posh chocolate. Is it Guylian?
I mean, I don't know. Well, we say Primark, we don't know. I don't know anything.
But you can get away with it because you've got an accent. You can just pretend it's an accent thing.
Guylian. Oh, I don't know.
It's nice, though.
I didn't know it came in bars, so that's excellent.
There you go. That's the posh one.
Last night, right, so me and Kai, my husband, we were catching up on an endeavour, and then we were a bit... You know, when you want something a bit sweet.
That's
only gross. and I went into our, chocolate cupboard, and I came back, and the two of us and I realised we had a blanket watching Endeavour, and the two of us were essentially just licking out cream eggs.
Just
scoop like that.
But you have to do that. There is a technique to it.
Exactly.
Like you have to empty the contents.
And then I kept like licking the rim to make it smooth.
This is getting a bit porny, actually, I've got to say.
And the cream egg. No, I'm joking.
I'm very turned on at this point.
Okay, yes. So, cream egg, excellent. Smarties.
Kind of.
Yeah, I mean,
You don't seem convinced by this party bag.
No, no, it's an excellent party bag.
Okay, well, this might possibly redeem. Would you like to be obsessed?
Yes!
Yeah! Okay, I'm going to open this now.
Ooh!
Cheers.
Cheers.
Yucky da.
I lived in Wales, briefly.
Did you?
When I was six.
Yeah. Do you remember much of your time?
Yeah, it was lovely.
Which
Wales,
part?
It's nice, isn't it?
It's nice, and it's so green, isn't it?
So my mum was the head teacher in Bangor.
So
we lived on the Isle of Anglesey. So we were proper like
you
North
were
Wales.
North.
It gets a bit.
I'm south. I'm Valley.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. So you probably don't speak Welsh?
I don't speak. We speak. The south is. You're more likely to be a first language Welsh speaker if you're from the north.
Yes, they're very obsessed with it. Well, they sent us straight off to Welsh school, so they would pick us up every morning in a taxi, take us to a Welsh school.
Yeah, but in the south we sort of, I don't know, we speak like a bit of a Weng, like,
but
kind
it's a different language as well. Like north, they speak in slightly different dialects.
There are different words and things like that. So we kind of, I just think we're, I'm lazier. I mean, you know, we had Welsh all through school and everything.
Oh, okay.
And
so
if I
say, Undal trai pedwar pimp chwech saith wyth naw dig.
I've never heard anyone
do it so badly.
Speak Welsh with a French accent.
Shit, did I?
Yeah, you went into.
I don't know. Try and be the bimbrex.
It's
partly because I don't really know what the first couple are. I just sort of make some noises and then
hurry through. Indai tri, pedwar pimbrex, oith now dig.
Amazing.
Other me here, the me not in the room, interrupting to explain that I just counted to 10 in Welsh, in theory. Apparently, it wasn't very good and it was in a French accent.
So we talked about this before I started pressing record, but original Death Rabbit.
Yes.
That's what I saw you in recently.
Yes.
And it reignited my Kim love. Because I was also obviously a huge, I'm just going to start listing them, Freshly, Angus Thongs and Perfect Swimming, Wild Child, all of them basically. Always huge. But oh my God, this will sound patronising, but I didn't know that you could act like that. Is that just such a backhanded
compliment?
My agent
said something recent. No.
She was like, I can't handle this.
I think that's because
it's it's funny,
true.
But it's so dark and clever and serious.
I think that's my kind of comfortable niche, the kind of, which they touched on a bit with Josie and Fresh Meat, is that kind of happy bubbly come across and actually really masking some dark
really serious
with a
issues.
Grin and all that kind of thing. So
yeah,
I think it's that. But weirdly, when I first started out, I started, apart from Angus Thongs and Wild Child, which are the two kind of teen films, mainly it was 5-6 years of drama, straight drama, period dramas, RP accent, all that kind of stuff. And then when I got the audition for Fresh Meat, I was like, no way. I hadn't even been up for a comedy thing. And the only reason I was like, I'm not going to get this.
You're
but I went.
So funny.
I know this.
No. I'm hilarious.
I am literally hilarious. I only went because I wanted to meet Sam and Jessie because I loved Peep Show.
Right.
And Rose Hiney
heard of
later
her.
On. And she's eyeing me with the right to her eye.
Right to her eye. Right
we should probably say, okay, original Death Rabbit, written by Rose Hiney.
Yes. So,
who is still sitting with us. She
with a desperate, back. Needy right to her eye.
So Rose wrote some of the Fresh Meats, although we never met during that time.
Oh, okay, because I wanted to ask that. Yeah,
we never met, but obviously, you know. So when I got sent original Death Rabbit the script, immediately the rhythm was something very familiar to me. I think Rose writes perfectly weirdly for my
weirdly is a very
just for like my voice, my accent, my kind of time comic timing stuff. It just sits really nicely. So that was like half. That was half the battle.
Tell listeners what happens in Original Death Rabbit.
Oh, God.
Because I can't talk about it because I will get fucking emotional again.
Yeah.
I couldn't even look at you.
On the last ever performance we did, it was in the front row.
It was in seat A1.
Literally A1. And she was bawling her eyes out. Oh, my God. And every time I glanced over, she just was like...
twitching,
just looking away, and like
I couldn't look at you.
Yeah, you couldn't look at you physically
because
I'm so
was
glad.
Crying enough already. And if I could look, if I looked at you, I would have just completely started howling.
But when Rose afterwards was like, because we went sort of for like a dinner and stuff, she was like, my friend was in tonight, and you know, and she was in the front. Did you see her? She was crying.
She was crying. Her eyes.
Okay, I'm so glad.
She was really attention seeking.
No, and I was like, I'm so glad someone knows her because I would. But if
I need to check, she's okay.
There's no ways I wouldn't have known. Like you would have, because in a. In other performances, like you see people get like very affected by it in different ways, and you can obviously see that it's timing with them because of something that's happening, you know, and then the show finishes and they go, and I never get to know that they're okay. So it's about a woman who, about kind of 9 or so years before, accidentally became a meme. So she was photographed in the background of a child's funeral in her pink bunny onesie, and then it kind of just went viral on the internet, and people picked it up and started putting their own narrative on it and all that kind of thing. And so the show basically is, it's 90 minutes and it's just me.
Oh,
and
God,
I'm
in a
kind of hoarder's shitty flat in a disgusting pink bunny onesie. And so when you find her, her life is in the shitter.
Oh, it's so dark and so funny and clever. But like you said, it's a one woman show.
Yeah.
When you got that script, what did that not terrify you?
Well, I remember opening the attachment,
right,
like from the thing,
just
oh, this
reading
is,
dialogue,
yeah,
waiting
yeah.
to get somebody else.
And I was just like, and I opened it, and the front page says, original Death Rabbit, a monologue by Rose Heidi. And then I immediately, the actor in me, went to the last page and went, 53 pages, fuck.
Oh my God, yeah.
That's immediately what I did.
Think about.
And I was like, shit. When I had a hard copy of the script, everyone made fun of me for highlighting my lines. But I needed to, because I kind of broke into sections, but everyone was laughing that I'd like highlighted the bits I had to say. It was a mammoth...
How long does it take you to remember that?
Endeavor.
To memorise, I believe the acting term is?
I think 3 weeks, and I probably had it down two weeks, but that was 2 weeks of solid... I mean, that was the thing. It was that we were rehearsing all day, kind of going through the play and the performance and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I couldn't really use rehearsal time to learn my lines.
No.
It was just 2 weeks of plowing, like, just...
So just in 2 weeks, you could memorise 53 pages of
Well, there was
dialogue.
A bit where I was like... I remember we... this was all over Christmas and New Year.
Right.
Like, kind of, it straddled Christmas, if you will.
Don't we all?
And I love Christmas, and Rose loves Christmas.
I love Christmas.
And we are obsessed with Christmas.
Yes.
And Christmas is like my time to shine.
And we ruined Christmas for ourselves.
Like, it was literally like Christmas Day was just like me trying to have fun, but in the back of my mind going, you've got 53 pages tomorrow, like you're opening in like 2 weeks and all this. Anyway, we were in this utterly shitty room, weren't we? It was so shit.
Rehearsal spaces are always disgusting.
Yeah, but
oh,
this
really?
Was,
that's interesting.
This is another level.
But it kind of worked because my flat is a shithole. But
and it was near the tube.
It was really shiny. Oh, and we were near Bridget Jones's front door, so that was
wow. That's pretty badass.
I had a port bat by her door the day before we broke up for Christmas, because we were like, this is Christmas, and
gotta go to Bridget Jones's door
and I'm just crying in a rehearsal room.
That's very good.
And then so we went round and we bought pork bats from the place next to Bridget Jones's door, and then
do they sell food specifically there because they know people?
Yeah, because they get kind of women in their early 30s coming
to cry and eat,
women
coming to just consume calories.
It's
50
something pork. And then they were like, there was a brass band playing like Christmas songs. There were a load of like blokes on a day out bin in Santa suits, and I was like, all right, it's Christmas. It's still Christmas.
That feels very Christmas.
Yeah. But I think that was the thing for me. It was getting past the And I hadn't been on stage for a long time, so it was like, can I? Oh, I don't know. It was just a lot of, like, weight that I was putting on myself, I think.
But it's also just such an intense show.
Yes.
It's not even just that it's 50 pages. It's so emotional.
I think that's what I was getting upset about, because I was kind of like, I can't imagine ever getting to a point where this won't just be a memory test, where it won't just be me
enjoying
standing there saying the lines out loud, you know, webcam working, let's begin. Okay, so just start, you know, I'm off. No. it's just going to be me sitting there desperately remembering the next paragraph, the next page and all this. And I was, and it was my biggest fear that it would never, I would never be able to move into a performance because, like you said, it's, you know, the first 45 minutes are really funny and she's a mess, but she's a kind of
she's a hot mess.
She's like, yeah, she's a hot mess. Yeah, it's tying in
on message.
It's tying in. And yeah, I think it was that, because I didn't want to let like Rose and Hannah down. And
well, it turned out brilliantly.
Oh well, thanks.
I mean, I am the expert, so I'm putting my official stamp of approval on it.
Thank you.
Absolutely amazing. I do find it sad that that is a sad thing about stage plays, that there's sort of no record afterwards, just people's nice memories. So please, if you could bring it back to like the Royal Festival Hall or something.
I think that only does actors favours though, isn't it? If you can do like a 4-week run and everyone just says it's good, then everyone believes it's good, and then that just becomes history as good. It's true, isn't it?
It definitely is. But I was going to ask, because the play obviously very dramatically side-eyes social media.
Yes.
And obviously I am a journalist, so did my research, Googled you.
Of course. sure.
You're not on social media.
No.
Is that just being a famous person thing?
It's just so tiring being famous. Yeah. No, constant likes. I was on Twitter because I think like during the second series of Fresh Meat or something, all the other guys were on Twitter and then they sort of showed me and put me on it.
And
it was, you know, it was fine. And I was on there for about a year, maybe 2 years. I really can't remember. But it became a thing for me. It became not, I'm a very anxious person. I can be quite, in the same way that we are lots of different things. I can be very like tough on some things and very sensitive about other things. And so it is that like age old 99 nice comments, you'll take the one to heart kind of thing.
Of course,
which is just human nature.
Yeah.
But I have to say, having said that my like time on there was almost overwhelmingly positive and lovely, with people, you know, from all over the world getting in touch to say that, you know, they really liked something I was in, that I was their favourite actress, all these
you
really
seem to be big
things.
In the Philippines?
Yeah.
Well, is that an actual thing? Because it felt like a lot of tribute cats from the Philippines.
I've never been to the Philippines. maybe I can get some, like, sponsorship here.
Sure. if the Philippines are listening.
But I just found that wasn't a good thing. I don't think... I started noticing myself and with other actors and things when you're on set that you started getting, like, your validation from it. And so you'd start... I noticed
twitchy
that it started to affect the process of me working, because while we're filming something, you're trying to get input on it, or, you know, you've got people going, oh, I hope you do more this, and I hope you do more that, or don't... I didn't like that thing that you did in the... Whatever the thing is. And so
it's making me tense up even.
Exactly.
Because I know that I am on Twitter and stuff, but I... Yeah.
And it's kind of all that... It was just all that, and I kind of felt like... and also, I don't want to walk around with my phone buzzing. I don't know, I just started dreading having to log in and have a look, but I was doing it. Like
compulsively,
because I had to, because I had like an obligation to, my public, who am I, like, what am I talking about? But I just remember really, really vividly my husband just going, you don't have to be on it. And it literally
revelation
had not occurred to me. But it was just not, I don't think...
A healthy place
I don't
you.
Think I've got the kind of mind that thrives in that.
No.
With that.
Neither do I, but I'm still sticking with it.
Yeah.
Actually, there is an Instagram profile of you, but it's definitely not you. It's just pictures of you.
Oh, sure.
From red carpets, just over and over again.
That's what I do.
Yeah. No, yes, sorry about that. Sexy. I made that. Yeah.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So now it's time for our mid-interview casual fire round.
Oh, okay, I'm excited.
I did this joke. I'm excited. So casual fire round, very much like a quick fire quiz.
Okay.
But much more laid back.
Okay.
Way more chill. Number one, how do you like your tea?
Oh, I don't really.
Oh. Are you more of a coffee person?
I love coffee.
Or a Prosecco person. Do you want to top up?
No, honestly, because I literally do have a meeting. I'm going to roll in there and go, wow.
I'm just trying to sabotage you.
I love coffee.
Right, okay.
But if I had to have tea, I'd have it just with some milk.
Great. What do you think of the word bitch?
It's brilliant.
My feeling is definitely that, like, I like it personally, but I don't like it when men use it. I don't mind women using it. But I think any word that has been used against us or against your... You don't mind.
Any, like, people say...
Should we say the word cunt
as
well?
Yeah, can I say cunt?
Yeah, oh, please do.
People
I don't
get,
know.
Like, really, like, offended by it. I just do not find that word offensive.
I mean, it's just words.
I find it hilarious.
Yeah.
And so I love saying it, and I...
Do you want to say it again?
Cunt.
It's nice. It sounds really nice as well.
In a Welsh accent, yeah. It's, like, just
really satisfying.
I don't know, I just, like, I probably say it way more than the men in my life do. In fact, when I do, they just go, complete.
Same, yeah.
But my dad does tell me off a lot for swearing.
Yeah, me too. Do you follow rules?
Rules?
Yeah.
Yes, I am a bit of a...
Yeah.
I've got a very...
Stickler.
I'm a bit of a stickler. I very much believe in, like, authority.
Okay, well then, follow-up question.
Okay.
Do you follow rules because you agree with them or because you might get caught?
Oh, a bit of both. I'm not very good at lying because I can't deal with the guilt, because the guilt is worse than the punishment of the thing.
But you know, like, acting is basically lying, Kim.
I know, but actually, like, honestly, all the time, like, my friends are like, for an actress, you're the worst liar ever. And it's because I can't, it's because no one's telling me what to say.
Yeah,
I need a script. I just can't, the guilt of something would keep me up for days and days and days, rather than just going, it was me, I did it, and then having... I'd rather just get the instant punishment.
Yeah, get it out of the way.
Get it out of the way, than lie and then have a week of just
sleepless
self-hatred.
Yeah, fair enough. Number five, what are you like when you have a cold? Are you, like, demanding everyone drop everything and attend to you on your deathbed?
No, I don't think so.
Fuck off everyone, leave me alone.
Yes, I'm more that.
That's the other
I can't, Like, after when the play finished, I went away for a week just to get some sun and to, like, let go of the character.
Yeah, recover
so
from that.
Great. Yeah. And then on the last day, I got really horrendous food poisoning.
Oh, great.
Yeah, like, horrendous. And I do, one, don't touch me. Don't come near me.
Especially when it's something that's sort of coming out of you.
Cold,
yeah.
With period pain, just don't touch
you
me.
You didn't
I've got,
need
like,
to lower
an
your
invisible
voice for period pain.
Like, I've got, like...
They talked about it at the Oscars. We can talk about it now,
exactly. I've got, like, an aura around me of, like, don't come near me. It's very much the aura that I have in the gym. I don't want to talk to anyone. I get very, like, antisocial.
So, yeah, well done on keeping that quick.
Okay, this time, one-word answer.
Okay, good.
Go.
Do you ever Google yourself?
No. I don't. I'm very legit. I
well
started to at a drama school because you
of course.
You get one job and then that's it. Then you think you're like, well, I'm famous now.
Yeah.
Because then you get like a fan letter, you know, and it's
right.
like, this is it then. And so you do, and then it's very bad. So I haven't Googled myself, I'd say, God, 8 years, more than that.
Well done.
No, so I don't know
it's
what's
very
on.
Restrained.
I don't know what's on there.
Good. I only ever Google myself when I've got like a date. Just still need to check what they're seeing.
But what if you see something bad?
I'll just cancel the date and come. What was the last text you sent?
You know? I can't tell.
Was it about fingering?
Yeah, it was about... It was something really disgusting to my husband, which I can't say. It's not
okay.
Sexy, just actually disgusting.
Yeah.
I think it's something woo me. I can't remember.
Woo me.
Can't remember.
Do you ever get lonely?
Yes, I do. But I like my own, I like being by myself.
Yeah. Have you ever been offered an orgy?
You know what? No.
What? Shall we go?
Yeah.
And final one.
Yes.
Do you think much about death?
Yes,
dark.
I do. I do think about death a lot, actually.
Yeah.
Good. Yes.
Yeah, so and now back to the interview.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
So now I know. Fresh meat. I do need you to know this. We confirmed this interview maybe 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
And in that time, I've got on with my life. I've been working full time.
Have you watched the whole?
I've watched the entire four
that's
series.
Absolutely essential.
Rewatching it.
Yes.
Oh my god. It is so brilliant and so clever and funny.
Yes.
And I hadn't taken that in the first time around. I enjoyed it. I loved it back whenever it came out. But I think maybe I was too close to it. Do you know what I mean? I wasn't that long out of uni. I was still one of those. I think I was actually season one Oregon, mostly.
Oh,
initially.
Gosh.
You know, that really, like trying to do life.
I think the
like, ticking list of drama.
Just one streak of colour.
Yeah, like trying to get off with people I shouldn't because it was dramatic.
And it was French.
I had my first boyfriend and I was horrible to him because, you know, you had to. It's dramatic.
Oh, God.
I hated myself
when
I was 19.
Awful.
We would not have got on.
No. I'm nicer now.
I think that fresh meat for me is a really special thing. Just, I think timing-wise in my life, I think I hadn't worked for like a year or so, and it was a bit like, and then I had this comedy audition. It was like, I've never done comedy, I'm not going to get it. And then I did. And then I met like five of the best people ever. And the six of us are still, actually, we were just messaging before this. And this, you know, even though we live all over and work all over, we're just really close. And I think
oh, that's so nice. I'm so glad
like,
that you are all
good
still.
To each other.
Well, you could tell that you were actual
they
friends.
They came to the play, you know,
oh,
they're just amazing. So it was it's a very, very special job.
Do you
and
think
this led to my accent, which was like a very great, it was a really nice thing.
I hadn't even realised that. That's amazing.
Yeah, it was the first thing I'd ever gotten to be Welsh, and it wasn't Welsh, it wasn't like I had to like really, really up it and do it really well.
Just be your
I
own.
Could just be, I could just be, yeah, because there are middle class people in Wales. Right? but it was just a very, very special job, and I think the genius of Fresh Meat in the writing and the way it's shot and the way that it was performed is that the first time you watch it might just be for the gags, and the second time you'll see something
totally
in one of the other actors where there's just something going on under the surface, and there's a little line in there that's like a little bit heartbreaking but it's skimmed over and all that kind of thing.
Oh, that's exactly what my experience was. I that first time I watched it, I thought it was hilarious, just really enjoyed it, but then didn't maybe think about it again until I rewatched it, and it's so clever.
Yeah.
And what I also really, really loved about it and found quite shocking actually rewatching it is like that it's so brave in that they don't try and make you all likable. Like you're all dickheads in your own way.
Yes.
At least consistently. Like you're likable ultimately, but a lot of that is because you're dickheads.
I think Sam Bean said to me once that we were at like a read through for like the third one. He was like, we keep giving you more and more terrible things to do. And you're still semi-likeable at the end of it.
This is the thing, isn't
because
it?
Because I think I've got, like... Because I look above 12. But I've got, like... I've just got quite a kind of... Which is what they played on. It's kind of, you know, I was always cast as, like, girl next door or little sister or that kind of thing. And so then they took that thing and then just got me to be horrendous.
See, this is what I was going to say as
which
well.
Which was perfect.
Like, it felt sort of extra brave doing that to Josie because you've got this like lovely, sweet, nice seeming like
lovely girl
aura.
Boyfriend at home,
exactly.
And then she just makes these terrible decisions. And actually, she's horrible.
She's
sometimes.
Really dark. Sometimes
she's really
she?
Dark, and she's but there's something. I mean, in my mind, it's not obviously it's not me, but in my mind, she's like a kind of. Little sister who I just sort of love but just I can't deal with
nightmare.
It
nightmare need in small doses to hang out with but I liked series 2 Josie Best when she drills through someone's
cheek.
Yes that was a real like messy
time
for
Josie. That was
Josie.
Great I kind of lived vicariously through it because I didn't have the textbook uni experience. I went to drama school which is you know hardcore. It's like 10 hours a day for 3 years. You don't get the uni. So I sort of lived, because I got on with the others so well, and we we went out a lot, and we were in Manchester for the summer, and so I had this like uni experience on Fresh Meat, which was really sort of special.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was amazing.
The other thing I was going to say about rewatching as well is like there is a big thing made of like Josie being a slag, but I just want to point out that like Joe Thomas's character, JP, they all slept with more people, if not at least as many.
Yes.
And there's just not, and I just want to say that as like a woman, like just...
I think it's because Vod slept with, if you're going to take the girls, Vod slept with people in a kind of Vod way, where she sort of didn't really care if she did or it didn't, and if it happened, it happened, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So she got that kind of like cool, like James Dean thing about it. Whereas then... Oregon
slept with a professor.
Sort of slept with lots of people, but
the dad from My Parents Are Aliens.
Oh,
I'm a huge fan of that.
Tony Gunn.
He's so great.
She got to sleep with people in a very sort of middle class way, where it was like fine because it was like you imagine.
It was just a much judgier air around.
Yeah, whereas
Josie's,
I think I was
having a lot
sweet looking and regional, so it was like no. No.
Unacceptable.
Exactly.
I realised, switching tack to the films, Angus Thongs and Perfect, I realised when I was looking this up that I went to the premiere of Angus Thongs and Perfect Songing.
Did you?
Yeah, I was at the party.
I don't think I did.
Because I was going to ask you, because I went through all my photos from that night, and I've got photos with all of the cast, and you're not there.
Wasn't that like 12 years ago?
Yeah, I'm old. It was one of my first jobs. I was working for a teen magazine called Sugar.
Oh my god, I used to read Sugar.
Yeah. So what? But it was what, like 2008? That film?
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. We shot 2007, so it would have come out 2008. Yeah.
But what was it like being cast in that film, Angus Thongs and Perfect Songs? Because it's so.
So I'd only
cool.
been out of drama. So I got a job straight out of drama school. Like before, I didn't actually go to my graduation. So I was really lucky, and I got this thing called Cranford, which was a BBC period drama. It was massive.
Judy Dench.
It was like, yeah, there was like 50 like parts in it. It was ridiculous. It was my first job. It was the first time I'd filmed anything. It was, you know, it was incredible. And so off the back of that, I started, you know, doing. And I just started auditioning. It was the first time I'd gone to auditions and stuff like this, and it was all very strange. And I got a film called Wild Child.
Right.
And then off the back of Wild Child.
A film called Wild Child. Like we haven't heard of it.
Our favourite film.
The best film ever.
You guys are weird.
Sorry.
It is a great film.
I mean, to be honest, this
really
was my Teen Mag era. So I was literally working on these films.
So,
I spent the day with Emma Roberts and all that, probably for that film. I can't remember.
Yeah, probably.
That,
and Alex Pettifer and all that.
Yeah, because they were dating and stuff at the
That's
time.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
And then off the back of Wild Child, I think I kind of got Angus Thongs.
Right.
Yeah, I remember that because when we were filming, because my character, Slaggy Lindsay, wears, what do you call them, fillets?
Chicken fillets,
things that push your boobs out.
It's probably
now,
not
I've got quite... big, but I could try and like hide them as much as possible. I've actually got quite big boobs, but I've never really enjoyed it, so I kind of curve my back a bit and I've got terrible posture and all that kind of thing. But basically there's a scene where the girls are spying on her and then they see her take them out and it's like, oh, she hasn't really got big boobs. But I kept taking them out and they kept not like going down, and then I remember the director going, oh god, we really should have thought about this in the casting process.
Oh no!
Because they wanted the shot to be, oh, she's got big boobs, and then she whacks them out, and then there's nothing there. But we couldn't do it. I think we had to do it with angles. I don't know. But that's my Slaggy Lindsay breast story.
Oh, that's amazing. Oh, so they wanted to recast you because of your tits.
Yeah. Which was, progressive in a way.
Was it awful having to kiss Aaron Taylor-Johnson?
It was a bit awful, only because I was much older than them all. Because
I wanted to say.
So I filmed on my, it was my 22nd birthday, we were in Brighton on the pier, and it was my 22nd birthday, and I was doing a scene with Aaron where we come out of a club or something like that. Of all the kissing, because I think he was actually about 16, 17.
That is
so
a bit weird.
When you're 22, that's creepy.
Yeah.
So I didn't particularly. And
well, I'm glad you didn't enjoy
it. Well, exactly.
Them,
no, but I would have been the one. I remember in Wild Child, there's a scene where they're all at like a school disco-y party thing, and my character's supposed to kiss somebody, and they brought like an SA over this the boy, and. And I sort of went to the first AD. I was like, I can't kiss him. And they were like, why not? I said, because I'm 22 and he is about 14. I was like, no, I can't. But it looked very much probably from the outside looked at me going, no, bring me another one. But yeah, I don't, it's horrible.
And did they bring you somebody more age appropriate?
I think they did actually. I think they found somebody who was 18.
Like a 55-year-old.
I think he was like 18 and I was like, hello,
at least this is legal.
And action and start kissing. It's just, honestly, it's awful.
That is amazing. Yeah. And you mentioned your first role.
Yes.
With Judi Dench. Did you actually get to spend any time
with her? Did you say Judi Dench?
No, I did say Judi Dench, but I'm a bit slurry when I'm excited. Plus, I've had like six sips of Prosecco.
I think we're Judi Dench.
Judi. Yes. You know Judi.
Yes.
You know, so it's Judi Dench.
That was my first job, amazing. Which was amazing because I got these... it was full BBC costume drama. And it was... I mean, the original Pride and Prejudice is one of the reasons I wanted to be an actress, like in the first place.
Of course.
So it was kind of like, oh... It's amazing. It was that and Princess Bride, so you know.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Is there anything you would like to plug or sell? What are you working on next? What are you doing? Are you having a break?
A new range of perfume. No, I'm joking.
You know what I'm saying?
I'd be the worst. Oh god,
it's called Kimball.
Yeah, it's called Kimball.
I'm working with Richard Curtis on it.
Smells of like period and disappointment. Do you know what someone told me what period smells like and now I can't get it out of my head?
Tell
what?
Us.
It's when you've got a bunch of coppers in your hand and they get sweaty and then if you smell that, it smells like
sweat. That's a very evocative.
Yeah. That's what my fragrance is.
Well, on that note, on that bombshell.
Period. By Kimball.
Yeah. By Kimball's perfume.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining me today. Thank you everyone out there. Please rate and subscribe if you have a minute. And thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you everyone out there for listening to my nonsense. Next week on the podcast, we have the excellent comedian Harriet Brain. Please do join us for laughs. Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.